Blog Talk Radio.
The guy Bender at number four just reminds us that Chris Porzingis last year, he went number four. No one really heard of him.
Here we go. Now there's a report that Rondo wants to come play for Brooklyn. He's trying to take Yogi Ferrell's spot.
We'll not see Yogi in October on that team.
They couldn't get Jimmy Butler when Jimmy Butler was being offered for the Timberwolves, what, fifth pick? And Zach LaVine, as if Zach LaVine's some superstar.
The best team ever in a regular season, Golden State Warriors, was the best doing it their small ball way. Why try to beat them at what they're the best at? Try to beat them at what you're the best at, what you have.
I hate the deal for both teams.
Sometimes you speak dumb. This is one of those times.
B. Singer and Maru, happy hump day on this lovely summer week in July. I am Brian Singer along with Nick Marucci. Happy to take you at 4 o'clock until 4:30. Nick, how are we feeling today?
We're doing all right, Brian. Rain just stopped here in Jersey. But hopefully some clear skies for the rest of the night.
Yeah, weather's nice here in Atlanta. It's thundered. The past two games I've had, the past two nights at night, it's either thundered or lightning. Because when it's so hot, there's just a chance of storms at any time. So I guess what we have today, we'll recap the All-Star game very briefly. Get into the NBA. Big rule change with Hack-a-Maru, I like to call it, or Hack-a-Shack, I guess is what the NBA calls it. Russell Westbrook possibly being dealt. Adam Silver coming out and saying that Kevin Durant going to the Warriors isn't exactly good for the NBA. So we'll talk about that and then first word and, of course, end our show, how we end every show, with dumbest thing you said today. Yesterday, the 30 minutes that we had didn't warrant or wasn't enough to go over the dumbest thing I thought you said. We went after it in terms of strongest division in the NFL. I'm sure we'll go after it a little more today. 323-642-1403 is how you could hop on board. That's the number to call now, number to call always. So, Nick, let's go over the All-Star game yesterday. We were both wrong with the National League. The American League took it over. But I want to – let's not dive into the X's and O's of that. The bottom line is the ratings, an all-time record low for Fox's coverage of the All-Star game. It used to draw north of 35 million. Yesterday, averaged 7.9 million viewers. That's a 2.0 demo rating from 8 to 11. That's down 22% from 2015's numbers. So what is your thought? What was your thought about last night's game? And what's your thoughts about maybe something that has changed? Or why are the ratings just so low?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I watched the game from start to finish. I enjoyed it. I thought it was, you know, a very good game. I loved what happened with David Ortiz when he threw a walk and a pinch runner came out and everybody was on their feet, both sides of the teams, and clapping for him. I mean, it shocked me to hear that the ratings were low, but I think it just has to do with maybe that it's the summertime and, you know, they expect there's no baseball all week. Some fans expect that, but there's this one game, and maybe some fans don't think this game actually means something. Maybe they don't know what it actually stands for. So that's all I can really say about it. But besides that, I thought it was an interesting game to watch.
I agree. And we talked about it before. The talent going on in Major League Baseball is prolific right now. So if the ratings are record low now, What could happen in, you know, 6 years, 7 years maybe when the younger players aren't good? Either, who knows what it's going to be like in 6, 7 years. But you know my point where the players are performing at such a high rate, yet the ratings aren't correlating with that. I think what they could do, because they have a lot weighing on this game, they have to have more of a competitive mentality and format and less of a, oh, this game is for the fans. And while it is for the fans, it's really not. Because that home field advantage is a carrot where the winner gets it. So I know we talked about it yesterday, and this idea has some kinks to it, but maybe only choose players from the best three teams in each division. Go best three teams record-wise. And maybe that excludes some of the best players. You brought up Mike Trout, obviously. But Mike Trout has no shot at the World Series. I think they have to do something more competitively minded and less of a participatory thing, because not everyone participates in the World Series. So why should everyone get to participate in the All-Star game?
Yeah, no, you're right. Especially if you want it to mean for someone, which it does, the home field advantage. I mean, last night, my biggest takeaway, I actually believe my guy, Terry Collins, was outmanaged once again by Ned Yost. You know, usually the All-Star starting pitchers, they'll go two innings, usually. But if they, you know, if they give up a run in the first inning, he'll go with somebody else. And that's what Ned Yost did. He took Sale after one inning, and it seemed to work for them. But he left Cueto in there too long, Terry Collins. And he gave up three runs, and that's what won them the game, that inning. So I think the manager's got to take it more seriously. That's just more the fact that I got to get everybody in, and I got to get people innings, and I just got to – you have to play to win the game, and I don't think that mentality was with Terry Collins last night.
Yeah, I think they might have to maybe limit the guys and let the best guys actually play rather than just having them play in literally like a third of the game. I mean, I think it needs some changes, and I think the ratings will back that up. So enough with the All-Star game. Obviously, it's a dead weekend. All four sports, no four sports team play today. The NBA, though, coming out with some news. Hack-a-Shaq rule has changed. What's your thoughts on the change? Is it enough of a change? Should they have changed it? Is this a bailout for the DeAndre Jordans, Dwight Howard, so on and so forth?
Yeah, I think it is a little bit of a bailout. I don't get the change at all. I understand people's doubts and then why hasn't, like, if you're going to make any change to this rule, completely get rid of it then. Don't put in, like, a little clause here, like, oh, now all four quarters, you can't find the last 2 minutes. Like, no teams really do that anyway, not until the second half of the game. So, to me, I think the rule should be fine. Off the ball, you can foul whoever. I think that's how it should be, because why make a rule for five basketball players? It's basically five players, and we're going to change the entire league because it's a free throw. Learn how to shoot them. You don't need to shoot, 80%. Shoot 65 to 70%, but five players don't do that. So that's why this rule is talked about so much.
Yeah, but you're telling me you like seeing – when you watch Dwight Howard, DeAndre Drummond, the game just goes so slow, one. And number two, it forces them to be on the bench. I hate when I understand why teams do it, but I hate watching that product.
So what are you going to do? So we're going to switch to change basketball when basketball – this rule's been in basketball forever.
It's not
forever.
Changing basketball. It's making the game better. Teams could still do this just outside the final 2 minutes of each quarter.
Can you say that again, please? I'm sorry.
I said teams could still do this just outside the final 2 minutes of each quarter.
Yeah, that's fine, and that's when they do it. I mean, I think it happens more in the beginning of quarter, so you get the teams – you get the offense for the other team out of their style, out of their, and you get them into this funk. You don't do this late anyway. I don't think this is a thing to do late. I think it's when you're.
But then this rule change isn't that big of a deal.
It's not. It doesn't really solve anything. People are still going to hack. Greg Popovich is still going to hack players. I mean, it's still going to happen no matter what. I mean,
I think this is the NBA's way of easing into what I think eventually will – they might make this – they'll never make this two-minute rule a full thing, but I think this is their way of easing into getting away from Hack of DeAndre, Hack of Shaq, whatever you – Hack of Maru, whatever you want to call it out there. It's such a bad and unentertaining thing to watch. I get it. I hate bailing out NBA players. I hate it, especially with such a simple task that – realistically, you and I are better than those five guys that I can't hit from the charity stripe. But at the same time, this game is made to entertain the fans.
Yeah.
That's not entertaining.
Sometimes it is.
It's funny, but sometimes it ruins the momentum of a Clippers game where you love that Lob City and that fast-paced style, and then you got to stop literally every 40 seconds.
But you know what? That's how you stop them. That's how you beat the Clippers.
But it's so boring.
But that's basketball. If you're fine, he needs to learn how to shoot better. If he shoots 35%, that is god awful. If he shot 60%, we're not talking about this rule. But because he shoots at such a low percentage that we have never seen before, like how are we, you know, if he all he needs to do, like when coaches, when their players get fouled and go to the line, all they ask for is one of two. Every time, all they ask for is get us 1 point. And you can't do that. He can't. I mean, you can't shoot 50%.
I like the rule change. I like the rule change. I hate Hack-a-Shaq.
I don't like it because it doesn't solve anything. If you're gonna, if you really want to get rid of this, you have to totally get rid of it. To me.
But what are you? Well, what are you gonna do? Make it a technical, not technically a technical, but get free throws and then retain possession every time someone gets fouled off the ball? Because the problem with this is, even if it's a legitimate foul in the last 2 minutes off the ball, which does happen, guys tug, all that, technically the team will get free throws and retain possession. So if you make that a 60-minute or 48-minute thing, you got problems.
Well, then don't change the rule at all. Just keep it how it's always been.
They have to change it. It's gotten so bad.
But they have to learn how to shoot free throws then.
Correct, but I think this rule is a good middle ground because they still have to learn how to make free throws.
DeAndre Jordan, Andre Drummond, they should be in the gym every day, 7 days a week, putting up 1,000 free throws a day.
I agree.
So we don't have to debate about this rule because we're debating about two grown men who are getting paid over $100 million, and we can shoot better than them from the free throw line. We need better from them.
So what about this Russell Westbrook move? We've talked about should he get traded, should he not. Apparently Celtics are the front runner right now if he is to get moved. What do you think of the possibility of him getting moved? What do you think of the Celtics as a fit?
Well, yeah, I think he's definitely going to get traded at some point this season. The farthest it'll go is the trade deadline. For this upcoming season, but the Celtics are the best fit. They have the most to offer. I mean, they can give Oklahoma City what they want, and you know Boston's gonna get what they want. To me, if I'm Boston, I trade for him no matter what to sign a long term deal or not. You're in a position right now. This Boston Celtics team could make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. This team right now with Westbrook, they could win the Eastern Conference Finals. They might. So I would take that chance because, you know, if you win, why would
you think they win the Eastern Conference Finals if they get Ross?
No. They could.
Okay.
So they could. They will make – with him, they will –
they're a contender. They're contending for these. I agree.
They are a championship contending team. And they are. I mean, it matters what they give up. But Westbrook,
Corver,
if you keep Isaiah Thomas and you run a two-guard set –
you know who I think you need to keep? I don't know if he'd be in this trade. I think the Celtics need to keep Jay Crowder.
Yeah, no, I agree. He's the defender. I mean,
yeah.
I think you do keep him. I think if you were to trade Westbrook, I think you're trading guys like – I think you're giving away Avery Bradley. I think that's the option. It matters if they want to keep Isaiah or not, which I think they would. I mean, I would actually like to see that backcourt. I would love to see Westbrook play – two guard, because I think he could, in my opinion.
Isaiah did come out, though, recently and talk about his contract situation. He has this year, then next year, and then he's unrestricted. And he said he wants to get paid. I mean, he just came out 24 hours ago and said, look at the guys getting paid. You better open up your checkbook if you're Danny Ainge. And so maybe that's in the back of their mind also with this trade.
Well, yeah, you know how much he signed for 2 years ago with Phoenix. He signed a 4-year, $32 million deal.
Mm-hmm. He's making $6.5 million this year.
Like, come on.
Yeah.
$6.5 million. I mean, Dellavedova Dova just got whatever he got. And Isaiah
Jeremy Lin just got 11. Tyler Johnson got 10+.
So, yeah, I totally agree with Isaiah. He deserves to get his money. So, but if you're Boston, you've been rebuilding, it's time to try to go win now and get a player that can help you with that. I think another guy they would have to trade is probably the rookie, Jaylen Brown. So that would open up to let them keep Jay Crowder, which would be perfect for them. To me, that is the best fit for Russell Westbrook right now if he wants to go ahead and win a championship.
How about this team? How about the San Antonio Spurs? We've talked about how their backcourt is no longer a good backcourt. Honestly, it's not a top five backcourt.
No.
Is it? I mean, they're floating maybe inside the top 10, maybe? But this is the San Antonio Spurs. Put Russ on that team, and they are arguably the new favorite. I don't know if they're the favorite in the West, but nonetheless, they're right up there.
Oh yeah, it'll make those playoff series against each other's first Warriors. It'll be amazing just to watch. But I mean, yeah, it'd be cool if he went there. I just don't see how it could happen. I don't see what San Antonio has to offer. You know, they don't really have much to offer to get him. The thing is Tony Parker, they could move on from him. In my opinion, they should, maybe soon, because, yeah, he can still play offense a little bit. It's still not what he used to be, and his defense is not there anymore. He can't play any defense anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I would, like, maybe you go after him next free agency, Russell Westbrook, but I don't think there's any chance of them acquiring him in a trade.
I agree. I think it's just not going to happen, but I mean, it's definitely interesting to see if the Celtics can put together enough of a package to get a guy like Russell Westbrook. It'll be interesting to see what will happen. We got just over 13 minutes left. If you want to hop on board, 3-2-3-6-4. I think with 13 minutes, isn't that time for the first word?
Yeah, absolutely.
Cue the music, get some first word going. Here's how it works. I'll say something next, say the first word next to the time. That's the wrong music. Here we go. All right, Nick. You ready?
Yeah.
NFC
team. Mediocre. I think it's just four mediocre teams put together. And it's been like that for a while. The reason why they get so much attention is because of the markets of New York, Philly, Dallas, and D.C. But to me, this is the worst division in the NFC, and it will be again this season.
All right. We'll get back to that one. I want to make sure we get through this. Best sports movie of all time?
My opinion is Remember the Titans. There's more meaning beyond sports with it. What was going on in the 60s with race between the blacks and whites, and then putting together this team and having the kids work together, and I just thought it was so meaningful, and the coaches work together, and a very inspiring movie that I could watch any day of the week.
It's hard to disagree with that. Most impressive girl on Jeter's list.
Oh, God, I would marry every single one of them. But behind the plate, they have Minka Kelly. She's the love of my life. She's the most impressive one. She's so beautiful. Good for Derek Jeter. Congratulations on getting married to Hannah Davis. That guy just... I would trade places with him any day.
Again, it's hard to disagree. You're choosing from a whole lot of A-pluses with Jeter's list. Rajon Rondo.
Head case.
What did you say?
He's a head case.
Oh.
Yeah. He drives coaches crazy. He drives teammates crazy. I mean, he's always in the beat for Ray Allen. But you can't take away how talented he is. I mean, he's coming off of one of his best seasons ever. Basically averaged 12 points and 12 assists a game in Sacramento. And he's going to make life pretty easy for Jimmy Butler the way he went in Chicago. I'm pretty excited to watch him play. As long as he stays focused, he's one of the best passers in basketball and one of the best passers I've ever seen.
Yeah, if he has scorers around him, the team could perform. He definitely can't score himself.
Yeah.
How about this guy? You might be familiar with him. Last name Gase, first name Adam.
He's an offensive wizard. I mean, that's what Peyton Manning on record said. Peyton Manning was one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. I mean, he helped Peyton in 2014 in Denver. He's young. He's competitive. His biggest thing, the reason why my Miami Dolphins hired him, is to get Tannehill going. This is his breaker make year, Ryan Tannehill.
let's see. And that's and if he can't get it done, they'll find somebody else for Adam Gase because they believe in with his mind.
All right. If you could choose an SP host, who would it be?
Okay. Usually they don't, you know, they don't pick like athletes to do it, but they should. And I think it should be Blake Griffin. I watch his commercials with the cars, and I've seen stuff with him all over, and he is so funny. His tweets, I think he'd be perfect. He has a very good sense of humor, and I think he'd be the best for the ESPYs.
I like that choice. I like that choice a lot. All right, two left for you here in first word. NBA referee, MLB referee, NFL referee. Just choose. Who comes to your mind?
For the NBA, I think of Monty McCutcheon. He's the best in the game. For the MLB, I think of Jerry West. Very good behind the plate. For the NFL, Ed Hockley. He's just funny to watch. He's pretty, I mean, well, you know this from him, he's just pretty jacked up. He's a pretty big dude.
Yes.
So I think that's the one guy you can think of. But, yeah, those are the three refs that come to my mind.
All right, and last one. Last one of first word is... all right, I got one for you. Russell Westbrook on the 76ers would finish where in the East?
If he signed, if they don't have to give up their guys... You're saying it's just their current team?
Correct. Just their picks, really.
Okay. I'll give them an 8 seed.
Mm-hmm.
I think that team will be fast, flying around, fun to watch with him, Simmons, and then the big men down low. They would have to add another shooter, but I wouldn't say anything higher than 8. They're still too young, those other guys, but Russell's too good to doubt, so I think he'd be able to carry that team.
I like that with the 8. I know it's summer league, but Ben Simmons has absolutely been putting on a show.
I mean, he has. And they're talking about putting that point guard when the season starts. And honestly, I can't even disagree with it because he has the best vision. I mean,
yeah.
Great handles. He's a very intriguing player, to say the least.
Yeah, he's a guy that can shoot with both hands. I was big on Simmons, and I'm still big on Simmons.
I just want to see more, you know, I'm seeing it so far. I just want to see more passion and more competitiveness. I just want him to want it and want to win and not back down to anything. Like, if he, in the summer league, if his team's losing, I want to see him take him back all on his own.
Yeah.
I want him to take over.
We got just under 7 minutes left. You said two dumb things in first word that I'll get to during dumbest thing you said today, but what do you got for me?
Two dumb things. Okay. Right. So, first one, Jim Valvano.
I think survive in advance, and it's not even, I don't know if they did this on purpose or I'm just really overanalyzing it. It's not just a name for the 30 for 30 with the 1983 North Carolina State team, but it literally is, and again, I could be going too much into this, but a theme of his life, of his capability to survive obstacles and advance. And even in the end, when he didn't survive, he left enough of a legacy where he keeps advancing. Every day that goes by, every month that goes by, every year that goes by, the foundation raises more money. I honestly, that's like all I could say, because saying more, you can't sum them up. Honestly, there are times where I'm feeling down or just unmotivated, a little lazy, whatever. You watch that speech from the 93 SBs, it's impossible to not be inspired.
That was beautifully said. NBA summer league.
A momentum shift. I think it's picking up momentum. You and I were watching the Lakers game the other day. It was packed. Russell nailed the game winner. I think Vegas and Orlando are great locations. Salt Lake City, sure. Talent that this league can really gain momentum and honestly be a moneymaker.
Yeah. Surprising baseball team at this point of the season.
The Indians. I didn't think they'd be above the Royals or White Sox at this point. They got just 16 losses at Progressive this season. Still think they need to make a move at the deadline, get a bat. They're the most surprising to me.
Atlanta Falcons.
Average. Their offense shouldn't be an issue this year with Ryan and Freeman and Julio Jones plus Sanu and Hoosier Tevin Coleman. But in our lifetime post-Vic, they've been a great regular season team, but absolutely awful in the playoffs. Maybe there's something with Atlanta teams overall being very good in the regular season, but can't perform in the playoffs. They've lost four of their last five playoff games. The Atlanta Falcons are average.
Ben McAdoo.
Not my choice, but I'll take it. He has experience in amazing offenses, most notably QB coach for Aaron Rodgers. I said it before the Giants when they were looking in-house. I said I would hate if Spagnuolo was the choice. I'm indifferent about McAdoo because the offense wasn't, in my opinion, the whole issue last year. So I give him a shot this year for the Giants to win the NFC East.
What is the best show on ESPN right now?
I got to go Around the Horn with my boy Frank Isola. He's gotten robbed now back-to-back days in Around the Horn. But that whole hour of Around the Horn and PTI, I don't think it'll ever be passed.
Ryan Fitzpatrick will be a blank when the season starts.
He'll be a Jet. The situation's ugly right now. It really is. A couple reasons. Two reasons. Number one, Wilkerson is also out of battle with the Jets. He's their best guy on the D-line. Number two, Fitzpatrick's best leverage point is that the alternative to him is Geno Smith. He'll get paid. I think they'll meet in the middle. He wants a big payday. I think he'll get a payday, just not as big as he expected.
Who are your top three teams in baseball right now?
Top three. These are the teams that I think are made for success this season right now. Obviously, deadline can change stuff. I'm going Red Sox, Cubs, Giants. You know how I feel about the Cubs. Absolutely love them. The Giants have a better record. They feature an amazing staff and a very deep lineup. And Red Sox, the Red Sox are in the American League in terms of the All-Star game. Half their lineup was in it. Their weakness is pitching. Again, they'll make a move at the deadline. But their offense is good enough right now to get away with it anyway.
And that's our first word.
So that's our first word. Let's get to it right now. I don't want to waste any more time. There's 2.5 minutes left. And I quote, "The NFC East is full of four mediocre teams put together."
Yep.
That's stupid.
What's stupid about that? What's so stupid about it? Can you prove to me why they are so...
First of all, they're not the worst division. They're not the worst division.
They're the worst division in the NFC.
I would put the NFC West, if you want to consider the Rams and the 49ers. NFC North with Lions and Bears?
The Lions finished with a better record finished with the same record as a second place team, the Eagles. And you're in that
They finished. Oh my! But you're telling me, first of all, the Cowboys at 4-12 is an anomaly. That'll not happen as long as they stay healthy. The Redskins, I think, got better with Josh Norman, and the Giants got so much better.
The Giants got so much better.
The Eagles are the worst team in that division. How can you not say the Giants got so much better on defense?
They got better.
Fins made the moves the Giants made, you'd be raving about how much better they got.
They added three guys who have never made a Pro Bowl, have never been in the playoffs.
So those three guys aren't good.
No, they're good players. That's what I'm saying. They're good, but they're not... I'm going to be this guy.
But that's fine, but you have a defensive coordinator who has won a Super Bowl and who has been a head coach.
He was not a good head coach.
He was a very bad head coach, but a very good defensive coordinator.
Well, think about the defense he had when he was the defensive coordinator in 2007. He had straight
hands. Their defense could be just as good. They really could be.
Stop it.
Their defense could be just as good.
You're going to disrespect the 2007 New York
Times.
It's
not disrespecting at... Oh, my God, stop it. Don't give me
that
bullshit. We got just over 30 seconds left. I have a feeling what you're going to say the dumbest thing I've said today. I got two for you. Number one, I already said it. You said the NFC East is full of four mediocre teams. That's false. Number two, when I asked you to name an MLB umpire, you said Jerry West. It's Joe West.
Oh, I met Joe West.
Real quick, dumbest thing I've said today. 15 seconds left.
The only thing you said today was about Ben McAdoo. I'll take it.
I'll take him. There was no better alternate.
Oh, my God. Really,
we're going to continue this on the phone because we're out of time. Thanks for listening, everybody.